RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. State-owned enterprises contribute to bring targeted 3 million tourists. The Indonesian government issues warnings for Indonesian citizens in the United States. The General Election Commission to invite foreign observers for Jakarta election. Now the news in detail. State-owned enterprises minister Rini Sumarno is targeting a 3 million foreign tourists coming to Indonesia by the end of 2019 through the various activities of state-owned enterprises. Rini Sumarno, after delivering aid to farmers and primary school students in the village of Sembalun Bumbung, East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, said on Saturday that the target has been discussed at a coordination meeting with the presidents of companies under the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises in Senggigi Tourist Area, West Lombok District on Friday, January the 27th. The meeting agreed on the establishment of a task force where they will work together and play an active role in helping the government increase the number of foreign tourists through group activities of state-owned enterprises. She added that the ministry will determine tourists from countries which are being targeted, such as India, China, Japan, Korea, and Australia. In addition, they have to see the areas which will be destination to foreign tourists. The minister pointed out that it is important to know the condition of the infrastructure for the development of the national tourist industry. The Indonesian government, through Foreign Affairs Ministry, has issued warnings to all Indonesian citizens in the United States after President Donald Trump on January the 25th signed an executive order on the issue of border security. Muhammad Iqbal, the Foreign Ministry's Director for the Protection of Indonesian Nationals and Entities Abroad, in a written statement on Sunday, January the 29th, said that one of the important components of the executive order is the policy to arrest and deport illegal immigrants. The warning issued are, among others, first, all Indonesian citizens in the U.S. must stay calm and continue monitoring their surroundings. Second, all Indonesian citizens must always obey the law in the U.S. and participate in the keeping order in their respective neighborhood. Third, to anticipate things, Indonesian citizens are expected to understand their rights in various situations. Fourth, all Indonesian representatives will proactively give services and reach out all Indonesian citizens in the United States. Fifth, the Indonesian citizens through all its representatives in the U.S. will always monitor the latest development in the U.S. and anticipate any impact for Indonesian citizens. Sixth, if Indonesian citizens need information and assistance, they can call the 24-hour hotline owned by Indonesian representatives, Indonesian Embassy in Washington, D.C. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said Indonesia must be prepared for changes in the current global situation. Following the victory of U.S. President Donald Trump, set to change the economic and political map of the world, Luhut, in a press release on Saturday, explained Trump, with the principle of protection against American products, can reverse what has happened so far. The United States, until the middle of last year, is still a net importer of oil in the world, began to reduce its dependence on other countries. At the same time, the country is trying to export gas. He added that the impact of Trump's victory was also felt in Europe and countries in the Middle East. Therefore, according to him, Indonesia will reduce import in various sectors. For example, in the energy sector, the government is now promoting the increased use of biofuels from palm oil by 20%. The obligation to use 20% of palm oil biodiesel can reduce imports of solar or diesel. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The General Election Commission is set to invite representatives of election commissions from Southeast Asia and international NGOs that focus on electoral processes to observe the Jakarta gubernatorial election on February the 15th. Commissioner Sigit Pamungkas told the Jakarta Post on Friday that the commission will host its elections visit program, which will invite election observers from Southeast Asian countries and international NGOs to monitor the election in Jakarta. He further said the election monitoring program, which will be held at the commission office in Menteng, Central Jakarta from February the 13th to 16th, aimed to introduce Indonesia's election system to other countries. Sigit explained that the commission will invite the participants to monitor polling stations across Jakarta on election day. They will hopefully get an idea about the electoral process in Indonesia. He said it was also hoped the participants would share the knowledge they gain in Indonesia in their respective countries. Sigit added that apart from observing election, they could also share how elections are run in their respective countries. Secretary of Trade Ministry Agustina Sri said the government encourages local products by villages to districts or cities to be exported by providing tax facilities and ease of licensing. Sri Agustina in Palembang, South Sumatra on Saturday, after a discussion with the retail business player, said that on January the 30th, program for businesses in this area will be officially launched by President Joko Widodo in Boyolali, Central Jawa. She said that through this program, the government hopes that the local economy can move as an opportunity to export is also open to the businesses in the village. Therefore, the government has simplified licensing deregulation. If earlier export and import licensing should only be done in the central government, now it can be done in the area. Even if there are employers in the village who want to import goods, the government only requires import ID, which can be obtained at the district or city. Last item. Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly Usman Sabta argued that presidential threshold in the presidential election is not uncommon anymore to be applied to the present. Usman Sabta, in a press release on Saturday, said that at this time the House of Representatives, together with the government, are discussing the draft on the implementation of election law, which is one of the issues related to presidential threshold. And if the presidential threshold is set at 0%, then each party can nominate candidates for president and vice president. Therefore, so many presidential candidates will be in the presidential elections. According to him, many presidential candidates in the upcoming presidential election is not a problem, no, not common. To end the news, here are the main points once again. State-owned enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno targets 3 million foreign tourists coming to Indonesia by the end of 2019. The Indonesian government issues warnings for Indonesian citizens in the United States. The General Election Commission invites foreign observers for Jakarta election. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Welcome back to a weekly news from across the country. The segment will present you to various interesting information throughout the country in a week. The The first information comes from Semarang, Central Java. Imlek Semawis Market in Semarang, which is an annual event in welcoming Lunar New Year, is held again this year at Pecinan or Chinatown area Semarang, Central Java. The event was opened by Mayor of Semarang Hendrar Prihadi Tuesday night, 24th January, by beating kentrang, a kind of traditional Chinese musical instrument resembling cymbals. Also present on the occasion, Deputy Mayor of Semarang, Heverita Gunaryanti Rahayu, Chairman of Parliament of Semarang, Supriyadi, and the rank of leaders and elders of Chinese citizens in Semarang. All guests were invited to follow Tak Panjang, a tradition of eating together at a long table which describing diversity. Hendrar Prihadi said that the meaning of Tak Panjang tradition is a unity in diversity that needs to be preserved with respect each other. The dishes such as lumpia, chap gomeh, Shanghai soup, broccoli mushrooms, until the traditional snacks which were presented in the tradition of Tuk Panjang, also refers to diverse themes. The next information comes from Mojokerto, East Java. Nearly 1,000 participants are taking part on a mass eating fruit and vegetable at Waduk Tunjungan Ecotourism, Kemlagi Sub-District Mojokerto, East Java, in commemorating the 57th National Nutrition Day 2017. Mojokerto Region Mustafa Kamal Pasha said that this activity is a commitment in the world to improve nutritional quality of individuals and society. The region also said that event was the idea of Chairman of Family Welfare Guidance or PKK Mojokerto Region to hold its skewers of fruit and vegetable egg, which is followed by nearly 1,000 of children in the region, with the team building nutrition towards a healthy and outstanding nation. The last information comes from Gorontalo. Listener wife cultures from Gorontalo ethnic have been confirmed as intangible cultural heritage by Minister of Education and Culture. The five cultures are among others Tahuli, Binte Bilu Huta, Lohidu, Langa and Dayango Wumbungo. Tahuli and Lohido, a variety of oral tradition of Gorontalo people which is still maintained until nowadays. Binte Bilut Huta is a typical food menu of Gorontalo, like baby corn soup mixed with various kinds of spices, while Langa is a martial art which is included in the determination of intangible cultural heritage objects. The Langa has its own uniqueness that relies on survival techniques, so it is a defensive action. Dayango is a religion which is followed by Gorontalo people before entering Islam. The ritual is still maintained by the local people. Researchers of Preservation of Cultural Values Institute Salmin Jakaria on Wednesday said that the five intangible cultures from Gorontalo completing other cultures that have been previously assigned. The cultures are called Molapi Saronde Dance, Tagomo, Polo Palo, Karowo, and Tumbilo Tohe. Listener, that was today's edition of News from Across the Country. See you next week.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event happening on January 29, 1933, when President of Germany, Paul von Hindenburg, installed Adolf Hitler as Chancellor of Germany. Adolf Hitler was an Austrian-born German politician who was the leader of the Nazi Party, or National Socialist German Workers' Party. He was Chancellor of Germany from 1933 to 1945 and dictator of Nazi German from 1934 to 1945. Hitler was at the center of Nazi Germany, World War II in Europe, and the Holocaust. Hitler's Nazi Party became the largest elected party in the German Reichstag, leading to his appointment as Chancellor in 1933. And the next event was in 1980 when Iran hostage crisis occurred. The Iran hostage crisis was a diplomatic crisis between Iran and the United States. 52 American diplomats and citizens were held on November 4, 1979 hostage for 444 days after a group of Iranian students belonging to the Muslim student followers of the Imam's line who were supporting the Iranian revolution took over the U.S. embassy in Tehran. President Jimmy Carter called the hostages victims of terrorism and anarchy, adding that the United States will not yield to blackmail. The crisis was described by the Western media as an entanglement of vengeance and mutual incomprehension. In Iran, the hostage taking was widely seen as a blow against the United States and its influence in Iran, its perceived attempts to undermine the Iranian revolution, and its long-standing support of the recently overthrown Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. Following his overthrow in 1979, the Shah was admitted into the U.S. for medical treatment for cancer. The Iranians demanded that the Shah be returned to Iran for trial and execution for crimes he was accused of committing during his reign. Especially, they accused the Shah of crimes against Iranian citizens with the help of his secret police, the Savak. Iranians saw the asylum granted by the U.S. as American complicity in the atrocities the Shah had committed. In the United States, the hostage taking was seen as an egregious violation of the principles of international law, which granted diplomats immunity from arrest and diplomatic compounds inviolability. The hostage crisis reached a climax after failed attempts to negotiate a release of the hostages. The United States military attempted a rescue operation using ships such as the USS Nimitz and USS Coral Sea that were patrolling the waters near Iran. On April 24, 1980, Operation Eagle Claw resulted in a failed mission, the deaths of 8 American servicemen, 1 Iranian civilian, and the destruction of 2 aircrafts. And the last event was in 2001 when thousands of Indonesian students gathered at Parliamentary Building and asked President Abdurrahman Wahid to resign for corruption allegation. In 2000, several cases of alleged corruption occurred, such as Bulog Gate and Brunei Gate in Indonesia. Bulog Gate is a case of misusing non-budgetary funds of logistic agency, while Brunei Gate is a case of the distribution of funds from Sultan of Brunei, which was handed over to a businessman close to former President Abdurrahman Wahid, namely Aryo Wawor. Abdurrahman Wahid was allegedly involved in both cases. On January 29, 2001, thousands of demonstrators gathered at the building of the People's Consultative Assembly and asked Abdurrahman Wahid to resign with charges of corruption and incompetency. Under great pressure, Abdurrahman Wahid announced the transfer of power to then Vice President Megawati Soekarnoputri. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with highlights of the week, which today is on Election Special Committee offers 5 parliamentary threshold options. Chairman of Special Committee on Revised Electoral Law, Lukman Edy, as quoted by Republika, said discussions on the parliamentary threshold narrowed down to 5 options. Committee members from various factions will decide whether to select the numbers 0%, 3.5%, 5%, 7%, or 10%. Lukman Edy in Parliament Complex Senayan, Jakarta on Thursday, January the 26th, said the 5 options appeared after each faction expressed its views. He said the final decision will be discussed in the ad hoc committee meeting. According to Lukman, in the discussions, there were 2 ways to decide the threshold. The first is whether the 2019 elections will use a threshold or not. If the majority faction says no, it will be a lot of parties that entered Parliament. Secondly, if there are many who wanted the threshold, then just choose the number options of the threshold, namely at 3.5%, 5%, 7%, or 10%. The party does not reach the specified threshold cannot send its cadres to parliaments. While for the presidential threshold, there was a faction which proposed 0%. Lukman said the 0% proposal could be acceptable as long as put forward on a strong ground, such as the Constitutional Court decision number 13 in 2016. Other option for the presidential threshold is 20 to 25% as in the 2014 election, or the middle part, which is 10%. Electoral Law Revision Committee member Hatifa Saifuddin said most fractions propose a 3.5% parliamentary threshold. 6 factions are in line with the Interior Ministry, which also proposes 3.5%, as recorded in the inventory issue of a revised electoral law. Hatifa said the 10% presidential threshold proposal is considering political party simplification and strengthening the presidential system. It will further facilitate consolidation in the context of strengthening support for the government. Earlier, Interior Minister Cahyokumolo agreed to increase the parliamentary threshold in the 2019 elections. It is intended to improve the quality of the elections and strengthen internal consolidation in parliament. Cahyo explained the government's desire to increase the parliamentary threshold is not directly related to the simplification of the parties, because, according to him, what determines a political party failed or passed the threshold is the public. All it takes is hard work to gain votes from constituents. Cahyokumolo hoped the discussion can be completed quickly so the political parties could prepare for the upcoming 2019 general elections. Well, that was highlight of the week. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. State-owned enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno is targeting 3 million foreign tourists coming to Indonesia by the end of 2019 through the various activities of state-owned enterprises. The Indonesian government, through Foreign Affairs Ministry, has issued warnings to all Indonesian citizens in the United States after President Donald Trump signed an executive order on the issue of border security. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said Indonesia must be prepared for changes in the current global situation following the victory of U.S. President Donald Trump, said to change the economic and political map of the world. The General Election Commission is set to invite representatives of election commissions from Southeast Asia and international NGOs that focus on electoral process to observe the Jakarta gubernatorial election on February the 15th. Secretary of the Trade Ministry Agustina Sri said the government encourages local products by villages to districts or cities to be exported by providing tax facilities and ease of licensing. Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly Osman Sabta argued that the presidential threshold in the presidential election is not uncommon anymore to be applied to the present. That was the end of news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, and also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce Senoa Island in Riau Province, so stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Senoa Island is one of the outer islands of Indonesia. The island is located in Ranai, Natuna Regency, Riau Islands. It has a beautiful natural scenery, especially the natural charm of the beaches. Senoa Island, with its windy sandy beach and crystal clear waters, add to the natural charm of this island. Additionally, Senoa Island has a famous folklore. It is said, when viewed from its shape, this Senoa Island resembles a pregnant woman who is lying on the sea. Hence, the locals call the island Pulau Ibu Hamil or Pregnant Lady Island. According to the story, in ancient times, there was a pregnant woman who was notoriously miser. Therefore, when she was about to give birth, no one would help her. Then she went to the sea after her husband, who was a sailor, but on the way, the pregnant woman died. Visiting the island, you will find lots of turtles that roam freely on the white sandy beach and in the clear blue water. Senoa Island is also famous for caves of swallow nests directly overlooking the shore and surrounded by steep rocks. Swallow nests is known as a special delicacy in Chinese cuisine and is pretty expensive. From the top of the hill where the swallow nest is, you can enjoy the wonderful view of Mount Ranai, Batu Sindu, and Tanjung Coast. When you are on vacation to Senoa Island, you should bring your own food because it is still an uninhabited island, except for some birds' nest keepers. If you like fishing or snorkeling, you should also bring your own gear. By the way, marine habitats that can be found here are so wonderful and should not be missed. To reach Senoa Island, you need first go to Natuna by using a small aircraft with a capacity of 45 people from Hang Nadim Airport, Batu Besar Batam, Riau Island, or from Kijang Airport, Tanjung Pinang. Traveling by plane takes approximately 1 hour 30 minutes. Or you can also take a ship from Kijang Pelni Port, Tanjung Pinang, Riau Islands, but this ship will return to Natuna 1 week later. A boat trip takes about 12 hours. If you have got Natuna, you can move on to Sempempang Village and then proceed to Senoa Island. The transportation cost is approximately 300,000 to 500,000 rupiahs, depending on the size of fishing boats hired to commute. It will take you to Senoa and wait there until you go back to Sempempang. On the way, you will be treated to views of crystal clear water with beautiful coral reefs. And at the same time, there is Ranai Mountain Charm that peak in a thick blanket of clouds. The rocks surrounding the island are unique. There is a difference between the front side of the island facing Ranai Town and the back side of the island, which is facing the east. The east side of the island, which is facing the South China Sea, is very steep side of the island. Rocks in this part are of black color and has a flat surface with a slope of nearly 90 degrees. In one of the tops of the rocks, there is a milestone indicating this is the outermost point of Indonesia. Those who are not quite adept at swimming or diving should not be in this part because the depth of the sea here is over 50 meters with large rocks. You can go circling the island by boat. The scenery here is pretty mystical. Cracks in the rocks are large enough to form such a cave and become bird nests. On this island, you can also watch the amazing sunset, so the place is also very suitable for relaxing, especially in the afternoon. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, introducing Senoa Island in Riau Province. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome in our regular program, Miscellany. Today's topic is about a festival, Indonesia Festival 2017. So stay tuned with us in www.voi.co.id. Listeners, according to Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya, 60% of the reason tourists come to Indonesia is to see the richness of Indonesian culture. No wonder if the enormous cultural have contribution to the Indonesian tourism. Therefore, it is important to pack economically valuable cultural economic values in order to boost tourist visits. Indonesia culturally diverse now package with more attractive in various festivals. Indonesia itself has many festivals that have been the hallmark and the main attractions of each area to attract tourists. At least there are more than 100 festivals which will be held in various parts of the country throughout the year. To initiate the splendors of festivals throughout the 2017, the Ministry of Tourism held a festival, Indonesian Festival or Festin Fest, in 2017. Listeners, on Thursday, January 26, 2017, the Minister of Tourism has opened Festin Fest 2017. The event, which was held for the first time, aims to bring together organizers to exchange experiences and develop cooperation in the festival so in the future they can create the best festivals that have cultural values and economic values. Arif Yahya also hope that in the future, Indonesia has top events so that when tourists come to Indonesia, they already know where and what they want.
Kalau targetnya apa, saya ingin punya katakanlah
top. About the target, I want to have a top 10 events in Indonesia. Top 50 events are also very possible. At least one provincial has one event. It definitely yes. Top 34 events in Indonesia. So when tourists, domestic tourists or foreign tourists come, they already know with certainty what the event will be held and where. A listener Fast in Fast that lasted for 4 days at the Sabta Pesona Building Ministry of Tourism Jakarta, featuring activities such as exhibitions, performances, seminars, dialogues, film, culinary and mini carnival. According to the chairman of the organizing Fast in Fast 2017, Taufik Rahzan, there are 3 main programs that are discussed throughout the implementation of this event.
Kementerian Pariwisata kemudian membuat 3 program utama.
Tourism Ministry makes 3 programs and one that will be discussed throughout this event. The first is about the Festival Nusantara. The second festival is cross-border. We called at cross-border destination, so ABCD Festival that is easy to remember. And the third festival of the 10 destination. So we will later show both performances, exhibitions, and also in the ideas that emerge in this workshop. Listeners, the 2 first day of Fast in Fast 2017 were intended specifically for festival goers and employees of the Ministry of Tourism, while the last 2 days open to the public. In the last 2 days, visitors can watch variety of languages night, an exhibition, and a parade on the street, which presented posters and photos of festival in Indonesia, as well as show off the culture. Listener, that was Miscellany for today, featuring Festival Indonesia Festival or Fest in Fest 2017. We meet again tomorrow with goodbye.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Konstantin Barsenkovin, Russia. We received his email through Facebook fan page. In his email, Mr. Konstantin Barsenkovin told that around 20 years ago, one of his favorite hobbies was DXing or shortwave monitoring. It was a little difficult and he understands it now to be in contact all over the world having a computer and internet. Letters were sent by post and it took much time and was rather expensive for a student. Now he would like to try it again. Unfortunately, the reception of RRS broadcasting on 9525 kHz is available only from 80 to 90 hours UTC in his region. Hello, Mr. Konstantin Barsenkovin. Thank you for being our listener. We are really sorry because you can only monitor our broadcast in German program, whereas you don't know understand German language. As information, you can also tune in Voice of Indonesia through audio or video streaming at www.voi.co.id and RRI Play or RRI Web Service for Android. Don't worry, as our appreciation, we will send our KSL card, but please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Well, Mr. Konstantin Barsenkovin, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. Now we will replay an email from Sekar in India. He listened to our broadcast in English program through frequency of 9525 kHz on 22nd January 2017 at 30 to 40 UTC. In his email, Sarkar told that VOI broadcast was good but noise found certain times. Hello, Sarkar. Thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. Welcome to join in our broadcast. And if you don't mind, your name will be entered into our listeners' list. And we are really sorry for your inconvenience. I think it is because the distance of your country and broadcast waves is less able to reach your region. Because of that, you heard our radio a little bit noisy. But don't worry, we have delivered your complaint to our technical division. Well, Sarkar, as our appreciation, we will send you our QSL card as soon as possible, but please be patient to wait for it. We are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Hidup ini harusnya bukan cuma perhentian sementara yang tiada bermakna, bukan hanya pencarian akan semua keindahan fana yang pasti ada akhirnya. Temukan kembali sesuatu yang sejati jauh di sana bagi. Temukan lagi dirimu di dalam dirimu. Hidup ini mestinya bukan cuma peran sandiwara kita mainkan. Tenggelam dalam kerasnya cerita yang melelahkan jiwa. Dengarkan kembali suara-suara nurani yang lama tersembunyi.
Kan kau temukan jalan.
are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from George in Venezuela. Mr. George listened to our broadcast in English program through frequency of 9525 kHz on 14 January 2017 at 9055 UTC. Hello, Mr. George. Thank you for your email and video of our broadcast. We are very surprised because although your country is quite far from here, but Voice of Indonesia broadcasting can be heard quite clearly. Thank you very much for your kindness to send the audio of our broadcast so we know how VOI signal can be reached in your country. Our KSL card will come to your home soon. Please be patient for it. Thank you. For you and our regular listeners wherever you are, we play a beautiful song.
Boleh acukan diriku dan anggap ku tak ada, tapi takkan merubah perasaanku kepadamu. Yakin pasti suatu saat semua akan terjadi, kau akan mencintaiku dan tak akan pernah melepasku.
Aku mau mendampingi.
listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for your attention and for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.